Welcome to the Truth Hurts program with Steve Z. Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of the Truth Hurts program with Steve Z. It is Thursday, the 11th day of April, 2024, coming to you from the front seat of the old F-250. Joe Biden was mocked after saying he was in the 20th century, another gaffe in his many gaffes since starting in politics. At least he finally got something right. He is living in the past. Critics rightfully mocked gropey Joe Biden on Wednesday after he told Arizona voters, quote, "Elect me, I'm in the 20th century," unquote. He said this during a press conference for the White House before he was forced to correct himself. After people whispered in his earpiece, "Hey, stupid, we're in the 21st century." Joe Biden made the remarks during a joint press conference with Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida. He answered a question from NBC's Peter Alexander, who asked the president for his reaction to a recent ruling by the Arizona State Supreme Court that has outlawed abortion in nearly all circumstances. Quote, "Elect me, I'm in the 20th century," unquote, is what Biden said. Of course, conservative commentators immediately jumped on it, saying the president finally got something right. He's living in the past. Biden then said quickly, 21st century, not back then. They weren't even a state. What? They weren't even a state in the 20th century? Come on, man. And the sickness, of course, trickles downhill in Democrat land like a rolling turd. Speaking of rolling turds, Representative Sheila Jackson Lee, was ripped by the press and conservatives after defending a stupid gaffe that she made and tried to blame it on the GOP. Social media users rightfully trashed Shejack, Representative Sheila Jackson Lee, the Blaffrican American 13% hyphenated minority representative of Texas, a Democrat, of course, after she tried to turn her gaffe about the moon being made of gases into some sort of slam of Republicans. She tried to do this on social media. She was reacting to the backlash that she was continuously receiving for the stupid comment that she said. She told school children that the moon is made of gases ahead of Monday's eclipse. The lawmaker says her Republican critics are hounding her because they have a lust for stupidity. Well, if they have a lust for stupidity, all they need to do is stand outside of Sheila Jackson Lee's office or anywhere where she makes a public statement, for she is the personification of stupidity. She was giving a speech at the Booker T. Washington High School in Houston on the day of the eclipse. She told a school assembly filled with students, quote, "Sometimes you need to take the opportunity just to come out and see a full moon, that is, complete rounded circle, which is made up of mostly of gases. And that's why the question is, why or how could we as humans live on the moon? Are the gases such that we could do that?"
Wait a minute. Hold the presses. I'm going to read it to you without the Ebonics accent. She said, quote, "Sometimes you need to take the opportunity just to come out and see a full moon is that complete rounded circle, which is made up mostly of gases. And that's why the question is, why or how could we as humans live on the moon? Are the gases such that we could do that?" Unquote. She also described the moon as, quote, "a planet," in another lie. Somewhere during her address, she called the moon a planet. This is how ignorant this woman is, and she is a representative of the people of her district. Understand that, my friends. She is a representative of the people of her district. She is an idiot wrapped in a moron. The speech went viral on social media due to the multitude of scientific errors, which became all the more notable in light of the fact that she was once the leader of the House of Representatives Science Committee Space Subcommittee. You got that correct. She used to be the leader of the House Science Committee's Space Subcommittee. Space, the final frontier. This is the planet called Moon that is made up of gases, and that's why people can't live on the moon, because of all the gases or such. Sheila Jackson Lee responded to the criticism that she received by insisting that it was simply a mistake, that she was actually referring to the sun. So we can't live on the sun because it's full of gases, Sheila Jackson Lee? Or is it because we can only live on the sun at night when it's dark? You idiot. She then tried to insult Republicans as foolish thinkers just looking to stir some sort of pot. In a post on X, formerly Twitter, she said, quote, "Obviously, I misspoke. I meant to say the sun, but as usual, Republicans are focused on stupid things instead of stuff that really matters." Like, is the moon really made of cheese, Sheila Jackson Lee? Is that why we can't live on the moon? Because so many people is lactose intolerant? She then went on to say, what can I say though? Foolish thinkers lust for stupidity. Really? A lust for stupidity? They should just hang out around your office. They can listen to stupidity 24/7. She tried to turn it into a political indictment of her Republican opponents, saying, quote, they should be focusing on issues like prenatal care, building more affordable housing, and the reduction of student loan debt, as President Joe Biden is. She then added, also, I care more about these children who would not have experienced the eclipse in this enthusiastic manner. And I care more about protecting the rights of women, and children than engaging in this kind of senseless dialogue. In other words, they, the Republicans, should be focusing on issues like prenatal care. Why? People can go to the doctor. They can get prenatal care. And with all the giveaways and handouts and social programs championed by you Democrats, all the giveaway programs that are free to certain ethnic minorities at the requirement of less than ideal situations by people like me, who are forced to give up large percentages of my hard-earned income to people who refuse to work. What are you talking about? Prenatal care. Republicans care about prenatal care. They just want everyone to contribute to the pot, everyone to contribute to the system, and therefore everyone can reap from the system. You, Sheila Jackson Lee, only want white folks to work and pay for black folks to sit home and suck off the government teat, as you have done your entire career. And then she says, I care more about these children who would not have experienced the eclipse in an enthusiastic manner. Why? What would make them less enthusiastic about seeing the eclipse? Oh, I know. If you'd have told them the truth, that the moon is not made up of gases, and that the sun is the sun, and that the moon is not a planet, it's a satellite of planet Earth. But that's probably way too complicated for your feeble mind to comprehend. Her attempted defense and subsequent insult was not received well on X, the social media platform formerly known as Twitter. Local Texas conservative radio talk show host Michael Berry torched the congresswoman with a very sarcastic response, stating, quote, stay strong, queen. In a world of knaves, numbskulls, and fools, you alone are wise. Lead on, visionary vixen. Our nation needs you now more than ever. I compliment you, Mr. Michael Berry. Tongue-in-cheek, of course. Newsweek's senior editor-at-large, Josh Hammer, found her response amusing, saying, just what I thought, this story could not possibly get any better. Bill Clinton's sexual assault accuser Juanita Broderick said, quote, this is hilarious. Sheila Jackson is dumb as dirt, always has been. How on earth did she get elected? That, my friends, is what Sheila Jackson Lee had to say. Conservative journalist Doug Powers said, the size of this self-own is bigger than that sun. And Kenny Webster of the Walton and Johnson show, radio host and conservative commentator, said, "Yeah, Republicans forced you to ramble incoherently. Of course." Podcaster and political commentator Robert Lewis called into question why Sheila Jackson Lee was elected, saying she was on both the House Science and Space Committees. Seriously, she represents a city that is one of the homes for NASA. It's called Space City for a reason. Vote better, people. And I, the host of the Truth Hurts program, simply said, the people get what they deserve when they elect a moron. We are experiencing this with Sheila Jackson Lee in Texas, and we are experiencing this with Joseph Biden in Washington, D.C. Vote better, people. Joe Biden says Vietnam motivated him to stop wars. You heard me correctly. Vietnam motivated Joe Biden to stop wars. And yet, during the 4 years of Donald Trump, no new armed conflicts involved the United States of America at all. And since Joe Biden took office 3.25 years ago, we have been involved militarily in more operations than we did even during Barack Hussein Obama's time in office. This was, of course, 60 years after Joe Biden dodged the draft. How Joe used 5 student deferments and then teenage problems allegedly with asthma to avoid joining the millions of Americans who have served in our military. The 81-year-old Joe Biden was first elected to the U.S. Senate before many of you were even born. At the age of 29, way back in 1972, in the height of the Vietnam War, when hundreds of thousands of Americans were being sent to the military by force against their will under the draft, Joe Biden got out of it. Why? Maybe political connections. Maybe white privilege. Biden never served in the conflict. Instead, he received 5 student deferments and then a permanent disqualification based on medical grounds that have been called into question for decades. The disqualification for service was for supposedly having suffered asthma at a teenager age. And then, at that same time, Joe Biden bragged about being a top-notch student athlete. The two simply don't work. How can you be a top-notch student athlete and have suffered so badly from asthma that you couldn't join the U.S. Army, or Navy, or Air Force, or Marines, Coast Guard, or even the National Guard? When he was asked about his legacy during an interview with Univision on Wednesday, the Spanish-speaking television network asked him about his legacy, about his non-service. And Joe Biden said, "Well, I hope the legacy is that I kept my word. I said the reason I was running was to help the life of ordinary people, reduce the prospect of war, and because of Vietnam. The secret you have to ask yourself is, what are you willing to lose over? You figured out what you're willing to lose over, you got an idea of what you should be doing. And so I hope my legacy is that I was honest, straightforward, and I did what I said." Biden's comments about the Vietnam War revived the scrutiny of his own poor decisions and his political positions at the time. Democrats, mind you, have criticized Donald Trump because he didn't serve in Vietnam, but they never seem to mention the fact that gropey Joe Biden didn't serve either. In 1972, Joe Biden ran for the Senate on a platform of opposing President Richard Nixon's escalation of the war, saying the U.S. should have left Vietnam years earlier. That was Joe Biden's position. He had already, by that point, received 5 student draft deferments, first as an undergraduate at the University of Delaware, and later as a law student at Syracuse University, where he graduated near the bottom of his class with 1 college degree in 1968. A month after undergoing a physical exam in April of 1968, Mr. Biden received a 1Y classification, meaning he was available only for service in the event of a national emergency. Let's talk about his boss, Barack Hussein Obama. Not only did Obama never serve in the military, he never even had an attempt. He did, however, make lots of excuses for cowardly Joe Biden. Back in 2008, officials with the Obama campaign released Biden's Selective Service draft records to the Associated Press because Biden was the vice presidential candidate at the time. An Obama spokesperson back then in 2008 said the exemption for Biden was because of asthma as a teenager. What a joke. What a poor excuse for Biden's cowardice. This revelation came despite Obama stating in his own book that Joe Biden was a star athlete in high school and in college and often mentioned his time as a lifeguard battling evildoers like Corn Pop at the summer pool. While Biden opposed the war during his first Senate campaign, he was also not one to attend a single anti-Vietnam protest. He was just another coward with an excuse. Biden once said in a press conference, "By the time people were marching and carrying banners, I was in Washington, D.C., voting against the war. And before that, I was in law school and I was married." He said, quote, in 1987, he said, "I am not a joiner. I was out of sync with, by the time the war movement was at its peak, when I was at Syracuse, I was married, I was in law school, I wore sport coats. I was not part of that," meaning he was not part of the protests, because he was trying to become a politician. My friends, this guy is a coward, has always been a coward, and a liar and an excuse maker. Meanwhile, his former boss, Barry Sotero, his current puppet master, a.k.a. Barack Hussein Obama, never served either. There's no record of him even signing up for the draft as required by law at age 18. Why? Probably because at that time, he was not Barack Obama. He was indeed Barry Sotero, supposedly a Kenyan-born immigrant who went to college under the name Barry Sotero. But that's a Secret Service sealed document, right? How convenient. By the way, former President Bill I Smoked But Never Inhaled Clinton also came of age during the Vietnam War. Bill Clinton also did not serve. How come this hasn't been widely publicized? They want to bash Donald Trump for never having served, but they don't care about Barack Obama or Joe Biden or Bill Clinton never having served in the military. Barack Obama received educational deferments, apparently. I'm sorry, I'm talking about Bill Clinton here. Bill Clinton received educational deferments and then received permission to join the ROTC at the University of Arkansas Law School, where not a single photograph or video of him being in the ROTC has ever surfaced. This allowed him to go to Oxford University, where he did not serve in the ROTC. By the way, in case you're keeping tabs, President George W. Bush graduated from Yale in 1968 and voluntarily enlisted in the Texas Air National Guard. And although he was in the military serving his country, George W. Bush was not sent to Vietnam at that time. All right, let's move on to the freak show. Dr. Richard Levine, the gender bender pretender, the failed male second in charge of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the man who pretends to be a woman, President Joe Biden's top transgender appointee who goes by the name Rachel Levine, currently serving as the Assistant Secretary for Health, has dismissed the public's opposition to his promotion of pro-transgender policies during the Christian Easter holy days that just passed. Richard Levine, who goes by the name Rachel, said, quote, "I felt it was faux outrage. It was manufactured." Levine claimed that the commingling of Easter with the so-called Transgender Day of Visibility was simply a coincidence. We know better. Levine said, "It's just this Sunday was Easter, which is a very important holiday and a very important event. It just happens to also be the 31st. Richard Levine wears a female uniform designed for female Navy admirals. What a disgrace and an insult to Navy admirals. Levine wears the Navy uniform supposedly because his job at the Department of Health and Human Services is part of the nation's semi-military public health service. He probably wears a uniform because he just can't find anything to match those shoes. On Good Friday, gropey Joe Biden, the pretend Roman Catholic, declared March 31st as the Transgender Day of Visibility. And it happened to also be Easter Sunday, the most holy day on the Christian calendar. This move could involve administration officials promoting the theme in order to galvanize Biden's disheartened supporters and empathetic voters in the upcoming election. On Easter weekend, Biden said, "Today, on Transgender Day of Visibility, I have a simple message to all trans Americans. I see you." He then claimed that they are made in the image of God and are worthy of respect and dignity. Biden is wrong. God was not a transgender. He was not a queer. He does not approve of, and the church does not approve of, this aberrant behavior. Biden's provocation, of course, prompted rightful criticism from Christians all over the world. This is what one individual had to say on Twitter. "Don't come to me with that nonsense, Biden. The year has 52 weeks. How is it possible to do this on the most important week of humanity, when Christ died for us, freed us from sin, confronted and triumphed over death, the Sunday of Christ's resurrection?" Trump responded on April 2nd saying, quote, "Election Day, November 5th, will be the most important day in the history of our country. It will also be called Christian Visibility Day, the biggest turnout of Christians in the history of our nation." Levine, who previously identified as Richard, is supposedly the parent of two children. Levine defends the adoption of a female name, attire, and pronouns and identity by identifying as transgender, although it is rumored that he still has the beans and franks intact. The transgender assertion suggests that an individual's subjective and fluid internal sense of being, male or female, known as gender, holds greater societal significance than their scientifically verifiable DNA as male or female. This is the head of our medical teams in the United States of America, and he thinks he is a she, and that is not physically possible. Moving on. Republican Idaho Governor Brad Little signed Idaho House Bill 538, a bill that now forbids kindergarten through 12th grade educators and college professors from knowingly and intentionally addressing a transgender student by names or pronouns that differ from their birth certificate. The bill provides legal protections for educators who deliberately misgender transgender students. When you see a guy who's obviously a guy dressed as a girl coming into your classroom and you say, "Sit down, Mr. Jensen," and Mr. Jensen, the student, says, "I'm Miss Jensen now because I'm transgender," this teacher could be terminated for calling the guy Miss. And that's perfect. That's beautiful. That's what needs to happen. Jesus. Governor Little signed the law this week, along with House Bill 421, a law redefining gender as being synonymous with sex. The text of House Bill 421 says, quote, "In human beings, there are two and only two sexes, male and female. In no case is an individual's sex determined by stipulation or self-identification," unquote. The laws both take effect the first day of July this year. While the law's Republican supporters say it is necessary to protect against unlawful compelled speech, wacky Democratic opponents say it will enable unprofessional discrimination against others. Republicans are correct. Democrats are, of course, not correct. Idaho State Representative Lauren Nicochia is a Democrat, and she said, "We expect our publicly funded employees to adhere to a certain standard of respect and decency, and we expect them to refrain from being unkind, uncivil, or discriminatory, whether it's to the public or to their coworkers. Respectfully addressing people the way they're asked to be addressed is no different." So it's okay for Democrats to call Republicans hateful names, tag them as bigots or homophobes or whatever. But you can't call a guy if the guy doesn't want to be called a guy? How ridiculous. Conservative journalist Doug Powers said the size of this ridiculous issue is compelling. Sorry. Moving on. Bear with me for just a moment there, my Truth Hurts program listeners. I thought we had more. Do-do-do. Maybe we don't. Ah, yes we do. My apologies. Go to the From the Freak Show to... Oh, the continuation of Governor Little. My apologies, folks. It's tough to do this when you're driving. Governor Little has signed 6 transphobic laws, including the first in the nation ban on transgender athletes, a law jailing doctors for 10 years if they provide gender-affirming care to minors, a bathroom ban that allows lawsuits against schools that let trans people use the bathrooms of their choice instead of that which matches their biological sex. There's also a law blocking public funds and Medicaid from being used to provide gender-affirming care to transgender people. That's great. Don't waste our tax money, our Medicare money, on freak shows. Little defended these bills as protecting minors from surgeries or treatments that can irreversibly damage their healthy bodies. He sent the letter to the state legislators yesterday, and this is correct thinking. On the other side of the freakish Democrat deal, this woman, Lauren Nicochea, said Governor Little just signed away the rights of loving parents' access to the medical care they choose for their children. She, of course, is incorrect. It is not very loving to chop off your little boy's balls or whack off his pecker or chop off your teenage daughter's boobies now, is it? Of course not. There's nothing affirming or loving about the mutilation of children. The state's transphobic legislation defines sex as, quote, immutable biological characteristics at birth, unquote. And this wholly ignores the existence of the very few, less than 0.008% of so-called intersex students who might have a micropenis or an enlarged clitoris. Of course, only a teeny tiny percentage of humans claim these deformities, and yes, they are deformities. They are abnormal traits. They are freakish traits. The presumption is that at birth, all humans have 10 fingers and 10 toes. We don't reclassify or regender or re-identify a person who happens to be born with 9 fingers or 8 toes or 1 arm or 3 arms. They're simply humans that are abnormal. They are freaks. Not trying to be mean here. The notion of claiming that a person can simply re-identify or regender or reclassify themselves because they feel queer is ridiculous on its face. This legislation states that if the mere presence of a trans student might inflict psychological injury on cisgender peers and increases the likelihood of sexual assault, molestation, and rape, according to Aaron Reed, a so-called trans independent journalist, says, well, this law is going to make people want to kill and rape transgenders. I got news for you, my friends. Normal people don't want a damn thing to do with a freak who has a mental illness to think they're transgender. A trans independent journal? What? Anyway, freaks embarrassed by their so-called biological differentnesses generally suffer from mental illness issues, including depression, bipolar disorder, dysphoria, schizophrenia, and others. That's reality, my friends. They also have a much higher rate of suicide. Those people out there playing make-believe in their pursuit of differentness are 4 times as likely to off themselves. And maybe that's what we should allow to happen. All of this, of course, as a result of their psychotic machinations that somehow they're entitled to special classification all on their own, when they are simply errors in the process of humanity, non-conforming mistakes, abnormal genetic freaks. Sorry, it sounds mean-spirited, my friends, but that is the truth, and sometimes the truth hurts. Finally today, we're going to run a little bit over time. Alejandro Mayorkas deflected questions on Capitol Hill when he was asked about a Fox News Digital article that claims he has admitted to Border Patrol agents that the current rate of release for illegal immigrants apprehended at the border is, quote, above 85%. Representative Michael Guest was grilling him about the statistic during a House Appropriations Committee hearing on the 2025 fiscal year budget request. He refused to answer the questions. Instead, he deflected those questions, as he and Democrats always do. All right, folks, I'm over time. We'll see you next time on the Truth Hurts program. Bye-bye for now.
Thank you for listening. Copyright 2024, the Truth Hurts Program Network, all rights reserved. Background music, Jason Shaw and Audionautics.